Okay, that was Bob Cheevers from his Gettysburg to Graceland album. Let me punch up a bunch of microphones here and see what we got going on. I have Susie Glaze and part of the High Lonesome Band here in the studio. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great, Jay.
Hey, sounds like we're alive and working. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, the High Lonesome Band was formed several years ago down in Los Angeles to showcase the songwriting of our lead guitarist and dobro player today, Rob Carlson. And
who happens to have a brother that lives in this town,
that's right. That's right, James Carlson.
Yeah, who's out and about himself quite a lot.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. It's good to know. We have a couple songs in our repertoire that were co-written by Rob and James.
Uh-huh.
I have Rob with me today, and I have Steve Rankin on mandolin.
Hello.
Yeah,
and,
welcome, guys.
Yeah.
We are doing a summer tour through Northern California, which includes Evangeline's tonight, Wednesday, and we're going to head up eventually to the Scott Valley Bluegrass Festival in Yreka, near the Klamath River Valley, and we're going to be at the Fright and Salvage tomorrow night, Thursday night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, so you folks down in the Bay Area that are listening to us on the net, there's a heads up for you. Have you been to the new Fright and Salvage?
No, we've heard tell. It's just absolutely wonderful, and we're really excited to go.
That's what I hear. I've yet to see it myself, too,
yeah.
But it's, you know, they're sort of a landmark these days, and it's nice to see them move to new digs.
I know. We're really looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, you want to do something?
Yeah. We'll start with a Gene Ritchie song that we recorded several years ago on the Home on the Hill album. This was a tune that she wrote about a real person in eastern Kentucky whose husband was a railroad engineer, and she never got to see him because he was never home. And so she sang the song, wrote the song called One More Mile.
Just you're singing the acapella?
No. Okay. 1, 2, 3. I've been wandering all the night, and the best part of the day, and now I'm returning to my home. When I turn to my home, when I turn to my home, I know what I'll hear my darling moan. Every time the baby cries, 'cause its daddy has been away so long. Yes, I rocked your old cradle, and I rocked it so long, and always I sing the same old song, singing one more mile, singing two more miles, singing honey, can't you stay? Got to go, can't you hear what that old whistle has to say?
very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. And I know you've probably heard this every time you've ever opened your mouth to sing, but you remind me a lot of Gene Ritchie. And I know you did that album there that of Gene Ritchie songs, too.
Yes.
Very nice stuff.
Thank you.
Very nice stuff.
Thank you.
So what's your background? How'd you get involved in something like this anyway?
Well, I grew up in Middle Tennessee, and funnily enough, as it turned out, I wasn't into bluegrass. I was into theater music. I was going to go be an actress, and uh-huh. I was. I had a theater career for many years in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And so I was studying theater music and getting that degree and went to New York City and found my way on Broadway in the Roger Miller musical Big River.
Oh, I love that.
The original company. And, it was a wonderful score. It still is, of course. And right around that time, I started meeting people who introduced me to the works of the original pioneers of bluegrass, Bill Monroe and the Stanleys. And, of course, I'd been listening to Emmylou and Dolly and Linda Ronstadt and all of those mainstream artists. But I didn't know about Ricky Skaggs and Tony Rice and those folks until I got to New York, you know, ironically. And it's really funny. So I moved to Los Angeles in 88, and I was lucky to know Steve Rankin already as friends in the theater. And he had started a bluegrass band called the Eight Hand String Band out in Los Angeles, and they allowed me to sit in with them and get my guitar chops back because I'd played a lot of folk music in high school and college and never really played bluegrass. But they were writing new material and let me play in the background and come out and sing a girl song every so often. And I got
the chick singer.
The chick singer, right. Come out and sing the brokenhearted love song. And so I would do that and got used to performing and playing with them and learned a lot with them. And they were very patient with me. And then right around that time, I wanted to record a record and I'd kind of leave a legacy of the songs that I loved. And we did that. And we played at a festival one day out there in Hughes Lake, I believe it was.
Lake Hughes.
And we met Rob Carlson, who was playing with another band, and his playing was so wonderful. We went and talked with him, and as it turned out, he had a lot of original songs and brought those to Steve and me, and we started witch-editing them and arranging them and getting them ready to perform. And I thought, well, dang it, we need another album.
Uh-huh.
we need to form a band around this music. And so we collared a few friends of ours who we knew played with the other band, and Rob got his friend Roger Phillips to play banjo. And I know those of you that go to Strawberry might know Roger Phillips uh-huh. from his frequent coming to Strawberry, like, you know, religiously. And so he plays banjo with us, and now we have a fiddle player, Mark Indictor, who's going to be joining us for the Evangeline show tonight. And our Fred Sanders on bass is coming up as well. So we'll be a full quintet tonight, Evangeline.
Wow. So all the recordings you have represent this band you've just described, with the exception of your first one.
That's right. Uh-huh. Right. That's right. The first, Home on the Hill, was in 2002, and it was I was backed by the Eight Hand String Band. And then the Blue Eyed Darlin was released with this band configuration in 2005. And in 2008, I had Lori Lewis produce Green Kentucky Blues uh-huh. for me. And so we used a lot of folks that you all know really well on that album. Herb Peterson, Patrick
right.
Sauber, Tom Sauber, Bill Bryson on bass, and Tom Rosen, uh-huh. excuse me, and
so
Lori
did,
herself.
Did you know Lori beforehand?
I did. Uh-huh. I'd met her through Bob Applebaum, my good uh-huh. friend, mandolinist in Los Angeles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. And that Blue Eyed Darlin, Rob, that's your song, right?
It is.
It is, yeah. That was nice stuff.
Thank you.
Nice stuff.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, let's hear some more. What do you say?
Okay. Well, I introduced us by talking about how we formed around this original songwriting of Rob Carlson, and this is the title track to the recent album, Green Kentucky Blues.
Great.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm not singing this time.
Oh, no.
So. Thank you, though. Like y'all, I can also get lower too.
Yeah. Hey, ready?
One, two, three.
I swam across the Ohio, I could not pay the boatman. I took the road to Bloomington, mountain with just what I could carry. I left my kith and kin back home back there in green Kentucky. Does the grass still grow on the wild Kentucky hills? Does the sun shine on the new mown hay? I'll never roam if I ever get back home. I'm in Indiana with them green Kentucky hills. Yes, I'm in Indiana with them green Kentucky hills. I drank and laughed and danced too when they found where I was from. And with no coin to pay, they tossed me in the driving rain. The sheriff threw me down a chain swap from my green Kentucky. Does the grass still grow on the wild Kentucky hills? Does the rain still kiss the flowers there? I'll never roam if I ever get. I'm in Indiana with them green Kentucky blues. For being unlucky. The jailer was an ornery bull. They dropped him where he stood. I made a break and ran swift as I could for green Kentucky. Does the bluegrass grow on the green Kentucky hill? Does the breeze still sing a melody? I'll never roam if I ever get back home. I'm in Indiana with them green Kentucky blues. Yes, I'm in Indiana with them green Kentucky blues. I'll not leave my home again, this I tell you true. People who are not your own will do bad things to you. Because of where you're from and how it is you speak. No, I'll not be straying far from my green Kentucky. I left my home in Bowling Green to find my great fortune. I swam across the Ohio, I could not pay the boatman. I took the road to Bloomington, just what I could carry. I left my kith and kin back home back there in green Kentucky.
All right. Wow. And whose song was that?
Rob's.
That's one of Rob's also. Yeah. Very nice, Rob.
Thank you.
You write a lot? You must, huh?
I do.
Yeah.
It's almost in a, it's kind of compulsive.
That's not
all the time. I always got a melody going in my head, or, you know, two or three songwriting projects. I have quite a few collaborators that I write with.
Uh-huh.
And so there's always, you know, something coming over my transom that needs attention.
That's great.
It is.
That's a good thing.
It's good to keep your hands in it, because otherwise it's like playing an instrument.
Yeah.
You know, if you stop doing it.
You have to keep doing it.
You have to keep doing it.
That's why I always tell people you have to leave an instrument out in the living room.
Yeah.
You got to leave it out.
I agree.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that happens in my own life. I play a little bit, you know, and it's like if it's in the case, I'll go, yeah, it's in the case as I walk by. But if it's out in the room someplace, like a newspaper or a book, it's that immediate, you know, it'll stop you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think there's seven original tunes on each of the records, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Of his. And
yeah. Well, nice. Well, you guys are staying pretty busy. I sort of keep up with you on Facebook, and it looks like you're all over the place these days, huh?
Well, July specifically is a busy month this month just because of our tour, and we had some local gigs in L.A. as well. August is actually, it's pretty nice that it's not so busy in August because we have a lot of new material and we haven't had a chance to really work that stuff up.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we want to get cracking on another record.
Yeah, that was my next question. That's probably what's coming down the line, huh?
Yeah.
Sort of what you have to keep doing, huh?
Well, you know, we just are in love with the songs. You know, I quote Iris DeMent, you know, in her liner notes for one of our albums. She said, "The truth is that I'm just in love with the songs." And that's how it feels, you know.
Yeah.
You think about them almost all day. You are think they're rolling around your head, their melodies and the stories. And, you know.
And if you want to get away from them, you have to write them down and sing them, huh?
Yeah. And then you work them up for performance. And
that doesn't help.
Nothing helps.
No. You know, that reminds me of that, that whole conversation reminds me of that old Hoyt Axton song about I'm getting paid for doing something I'd be doing anyway. You know, it's got that line
in it. That's right.
Sort of the deal.
That's what
it
feels like.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of Facebook, I was on it this morning, and Joe Craven's all over it going, "You have to go to Evangeline's and see Susie tonight."
Yeah. That's his sweetheart. That means he can't come.
No, I think he's working the World Fest, actually.
He is, working the World Fest.
And that's kicking off, too.
My goodness, speaking of busy.
Yeah, he is a busy boy.
He is.
He is constantly.
He came
busy.
Down and stayed with us, and I want you to know that was a real, real, real wonderful honor and treat. He stayed with us for about four days while he was doing some concerts down in Los Angeles. And boy, I tell you,
he's an incredible man.
We had a lot of philosophical discussions, and if you could have seen this, we were having a discussion on our back porch, and there was a gentleman, a gardener, across the fence, across our backyard. Got the leaf blower out, and Joe was sitting there talking. We were trying to talk. He said, "Just 1 minute."
So he starts playing with it?
No, he went out and he started singing.
He sang with it.
Singing with the leaf blower.
Wayfaring stranger in the key of E with a
leaf blower. You know, if anybody could do it, he was doing a show here. I love Joe. I truly love him. He's just, not only is he a great, is he a really nice person, he's just, what a boon to this whole, you know, this whole musical world out here, you know. But he was doing a show in Grass Valley over at the Center for the Arts, and the guy that was introducing him was doing the introduction, and Joe's running out on stage with, like, spoons and bottles and pots and pans, you know, and this stuff, and he put a cake pan down.
Oh yeah.
And the guy introducing him said, "Oh, I see he brought a bundt cake pan." And and when Joe finally got introduced, he goes, "Au contraire, it's not a bundt pan, it's an angel food pan," or whatever it was, and goes on to give the history of the bundt pan, the history of the angel food.
Yes.
And then at some point he's sitting in a chair and he's playing all these instruments and he puts them all down and he keeps a rhythm going with his foot and reaches down and unties his shoestring and pulls it out tight and starts playing a bass line on his shoestring. I've seen it all now.
A perfect pitch, too.
Exactly,
You end up feeling like such adult sitting next to Joe because you're not thinking of these things.
That's true.
You know, you're like, wow.
We spend a lot of time learning the Snap, Crackle, Pop jingle. Rice Krispies jingle.
I was Snap.
And I was Crackle, and Joe was Pop.
Joe was Pop.
That's great.
It was wonderful.
That is too funny.
It's so good to know him.
Well, you know, when I'm mentioning Joe, Eric Rice is our local bluegrass guy here. I don't know if you know Eric or not, but he was singing your praises on there this morning, too. So I just want you to know that
that's great.
There are people out there going, "You have to go see Susie and the band." Wow. So there you are.
We're so excited about it.
Cool. Well, let's hear another.
Okay. I was going to run by you the opportunity to do perhaps an a cappella piece.
Absolutely.
From Gene Ritchie Canon. And we did this down at Cal Public Radio the other day and in Sacramento. And I just want to share it with everyone because I think that I've had mentioned from some presenters and venue operators that they really don't get to hear a cappella too much and that it's very arresting. And I feel the same way. And it's an honor to share Gene Ritchie's original material and especially this next song, which is West Virginia Mine Disaster. Gene Ritchie always wrote songs when there was a story that didn't have a song accompanying it. And because when she grew up, all stories had the songs accompanying it. Mm-hmm. So when she came upon an event that didn't, she knew she had to write it. That's the case with West Virginia Mine Disaster. And this is a song that's unique because it's written about, of course, an event that everyone was familiar with, but it was written from the point of view of the women who have to stay home. She realized that none of the other songs talked about how the women felt when they had to stay home. And it was taboo then for women to go into the mines. But the women would often wonder what goes on when the whistle blows off time. Say, did you see him going? It was early this morning. He passed all your houses on the way to the call. He was tall, he was slender, and his dark eyes so tender. His occupation was mining, West Virginia his home. It was just after 12 I was feeding the children. Ben Mosley came running to give us the news. Number 8 is all flooded, many men are in danger. And we don't know their number, but we fear they're all doomed. So I picked up the baby and I left all the others to comfort each other and pray for our own. There's Timmy, 14, and there's John, not much younger. Their own time soon will be coming to go down the black hole. Oh, if I had the money to do more than just feed them, I'd give them good learning, the best could be found. Then when they grew up, they'd be checkers and weighers, and not spend their time drilling in the dark underground. Oh, what can I say to his poor little children? And what can I tell his old mother at home? And what can I say to my heart that's clear broken? To my heart that's clear broken, if my darling is gone. Say, did you see him going? It was early this morning. He passed all your houses on the way to the call. He was tall, he was slender, and his dark eyes so tender. His occupation was mining, West Virginia his home.
Well, that's very nice.
Thank you.
You know, that's your voice is so complimentary to that stuff that Jean Ritchie wrote, and that's one thing I always liked about her very much. She was so sweet and so clear, and wrote about
real things.
Just the hard stuff there, and not only the hard stuff, but the fun stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, but it's you know, our world has changed mostly, and those days are you know, rapidly going away. And for stories like, unfortunately, the story that you just sang, those aren't going away.
No.
Those are still going on.
That's right.
But there's a lot of, you know, of that time of life that I miss.
Me too.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely, I do.
Anyway, that's very, very nice. And I'm for one, I'm overjoyed that you're doing so many of Jean Ritchie's songs. He's always been one of my favorites.
I'm so glad.
One of those important folks out there in this particular stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. Alrighty. Oh, I know one thing I wanted to ask you, Susie, was you said you were part of Big River when it was on Broadway. That must have been a great experience. Did you know Roger Miller? Was he there for any of that?
Yeah, I met him during the run of the show. I was with it for 2 years,
uh-huh.
And he came in and actually did a role for about 5 or 6 months.
Really?
He played Pap Finn,
And
it was really amazing. The role was originated, of course, the show originated in La Jolla Playhouse, and then went to Broadway. And he came in to do the small role of Pap Finn, who was a drunkard, and that's one reason why Huck Finn ran away, because he, you know, he was running away from the abuse of his father. Uh-huh. But Roger wrote this incredible song called That Dadgum Government, and it's like a country rap song. Uh-huh. And I want you to know, I mean, the other Pat Finns had done wonderful by it, but when Roger Miller did it, it just lifted the whole Broadway house off its hinges.
Wow.
Because the guy, I think you will recall, listen to Roger, when he went into that kind of talk, singing, speak kind of thing that he would do, it, you know, he knew what was behind it, the thoughts behind that song. It was just a rant against the government, uh-huh. you know, basically uh-huh. taking taxes away and he
didn't pay any taxes. Though.
No, he didn't. But you know, that's the reason why, because he just hated the government and one of those government haters. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to have him. So I got to meet him. He was a very sweet man.
That's pretty neat. He was an incredible guy too. I think he left an incredible body of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but that particular show I thought was it was an incredible piece of work.
It is.
You know? Oddly enough, our bass player Fred Sanders did the national tour of it. So he went out and did the show as well.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah, all those songs that he came up for that show were just incredible, incredible songs. You know?
It's a great score. It's absolutely beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys are going to be live at Evangeline's in Colfax tonight. That's mm-hmm. out on 5 West Depot Street in downtown Colfax. Can't miss it. If you get downtown Colfax, you'll find Evangeline's. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty small place, so if you're interested in going out there, maybe you want to give them a call. And reserve yourself a ticket. You can do that by calling 346-8833 in 530 area code, and you'll see Susie Glaze and the High Lonesome Band, which is what you've been listening to, plus. You what? Got two more members, right?
That's right. We have a bass player, our Fred, and our fiddle player, Mark and Dichter, are coming up right now as we speak.
Cool. Well, you want to do another tune for us then?
We have one more to do, and in fact, a friend of ours told us that when we play Evangeline's, we need to play some train songs.
It's
down on Depot Street by the train tracks.
The Colfax train. I live about 15 miles from there, and sometimes late at night I can hear that train coming through. I love it. It's sort of an old sound, you know.
It is.
We're probably old enough we remember listening to trains when we were kids. Well, maybe you're not, but I am.
Well, no, I am, actually. Remember, I'm from Middle Tennessee originally.
That's right.
This is a Gene Ritchie tune that many of you probably have heard before. The L&N Don't Stop Here Anymore. A friend in Southern California told me that I needed to introduce this song to Californians who don't know what L&N stands for.
Uh-huh.
That stood for the Louisville and Nashville Railroad, which was a freight train that carried the coal from the deep mines to the refineries. And when the deep coal mining stopped and the strip mining started, that train no longer came through that area, and a lot of the economies changed when the deep coal mining stopped because a lot of people were put out of work.
Sure.
So that changed a lot of lives down there, and that's what the L&N Don't Stop Here Anymore is about. Ready? One, two, three, four. Sorry, I'll start on the right chord that time.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, when I was a curly-headed baby, my daddy set me down upon his knee. Said, son, you go to school and learn your letters. Don't you be no dusty miner like me. For I was born and raised at the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Coal cars running and rumbling past my door. Now they're standing rusty, rolling empty. And the L&N don't stop here anymore. Well, I used to think my daddy was a black man with scrip enough to buy the company store. But now he goes downtown with empty pockets, and his face is white as the February snow. For I was born and raised at the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Coal cars running and rumbling past my door. Now they're standing rusty, rolling empty. And the L&N don't stop here anymore.
my payday like I done before. Them old cozy vines had covered up the doorway. There was trees and grass, well, growing right through the floor. For I was born and raised in the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Coal cars roaring and rumbling past my door. Now they're standing rusty, rolling and deep. And the men don't stop here anymore. Well, I never thought I'd live to love the coldest. Never thought I'd pray to hear the temple roar. Lord, how I wish that grass could change to money. Once more, for I was born and raised at the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Coal cars roaring and rumbling past my door. Now they're standing rusty, rolling empty. And the M&M don't stop here anymore.
Alrighty. Live tonight out at Evangeline's in Colfax. It's a 7 o'clock show, looks like. Doors open at 6. So if you want to kick the World Fest weekend off the right way, probably the way to do that is go out and listen to some good bluegrass type music. And here's a great opportunity.
Thanks, Jay.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it so much. It's great to meet you folks. And if you're ever back in this area, please come back in.
We shall. We really appreciate it. And we also wanted just to let viewers know that if you can't come to Evangeline's and you want to check us out and see what we're doing and perhaps go look at albums or listen to song samples or watch video, you can go to SusieGlaze.com. And that's SusieGlaze.com.
Great, and that's the way to find her. And I'm assuming that you'll probably have some CDs with you tonight.
Yes, we
for
will.
Sale. So if anybody wants to take you all home with them, that's the way to do it. Huh?
That'd be great. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All righty. And this is KVMR FM in Nevada City, California. And real quickly, I have to thank these folks once again.